Remember, inspired by the Word of God, you can be more fully alive.
This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Welcome to Church and Culture. This show is devoted to exploring the interaction between our faith and our culture. Each week, I will talk with expert guests on topics ranging from literature, art, and music to politics, liturgy, spirituality, and education. Thank you for joining us. I'd like to welcome back to Church and Culture Monica Fitzgibbons, and she was on some years ago, not long after she and her husband Kevin had started a new music label, actually two, one called DeMont Fort Music and Aim Higher Recordings. And so, Monica, welcome back to Church and Culture.
Dio, thank you so much for having us back on.
You know, you told your story the last time you were on, so we're not going to go into that very deeply, but you and your husband were living in L.A. for a long time. You were marketing director for DreamWorks for 7 years, but you all decided that L.A. didn't feel right for you anymore, that form of entertainment didn't feel right, so now you move down to Naples, Florida, isn't that right?
Yes, that's correct.
And you've been there how long now?
Gee, about 6 years, maybe? I don't know. I need to do my math on that deal.
Well, we've had another one of your albums. I guess we still call them albums or CDs. On the show, we had the Benedictine Monks of Norcia and their best-selling CD, which was number one on the Billboard Classical chart in 2016, Marian Shan from Norcia. How are they doing after the earthquake?
You know, I think it's been hard, but they're so spiritually grounded that they understand that that this all has meaning and a purpose, and they're just a great model for all of us when things happen way beyond things that go bump in the night, that's for sure, because right. They've had several earthquakes, avalanches. Their entire monastery and church are uninhabitable, but they're together and they're still living their rule of life and helping others in the midst of it, and they're great charity.
And they're still singing.
And they're still singing.
We also had someone on when you did your Christmas in Harvard Square recording, which was number one, I believe, classical seller that year. And so this will really be the fourth program that we've devoted to your, may I call it an apostolate? Because it feels
sure.
like it.
Why not?
But this apostolate has suddenly gained an incredible distributor named Sony. So tell us about that, because that is, in the name of the game in selling music is distribution. So tell us how that happened.
Well, as we spoke about one of the times when we were fortunate enough to come on, we were on DECA, which was through Universal, but the way that Kevin, my husband, who's the business brains behind all of this, and he designs these situations, he did not want to do a long-term distribution deal with Universal for various reasons, and that turned out to be a very smart decision, and so we were going album by album with them, really working and in doing the worldwide distribution through them. But then after, now that we've been doing it for a long time, we were ready to sort of settle down for a more long-term commitment, I guess, for a distribution situation. And my husband comes out of the Sony system, and so that was a natural fit. And so now we are having all of our recordings from here on distributed worldwide through Sony Classical and Masterworks, which is really a great thing for this music, really.
But it's clear that you earned your way, not only the quality of your recordings, but you've been covered by the New York Times, NPR, NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, EWTN. So you have earned your way into that relationship for sure.
Well, you know, we couldn't really take much credit for it because none of this really makes sense. And some of the things that we do are completely unorthodox as far as the recording business goes and as far as really Catholic marketing goes. But, you know, it's been said before by people a lot holier than we are, but it's been the Holy Spirit, honestly. There's no other way to account for it because some of the times, some of these things that we do are even surprising to us. So we think we're going through one portal or one doorway to achieve a goal, and then it will come through a window in the attic, and it is almost funny.
Well, you've struck it rich again with your latest CD, because we're going to talk about that and play some of the cuts from it. It's again, though, you've gone to a Schola, this time not the Harvard one at Harvard Square, but the London Oratorio Schola Cantorum Boys Choir. Now, this, of course, a lot of people will know of the famous oratory in the heart of London. They may not know, as I didn't really know, that they had a Schola Cantorum for boys, that is, a school. Mm-hmm. There, with the discipline of getting up early, of practicing, of singing at all the masses, and I might say that the result is absolutely stunning, and I'm very, very proud to have you on to play our listeners some of the wonderful Renaissance sacred music that you have on the CD. How did this come about, Monica?
Well, and thank you for saying those kind words. That means a lot coming from you, Deal, because you are quite a music. You know, we've had a lot of great music conversations, so you go below the surface. So I always kind of hold my breath and see, you know, what is Deal going to come back with? But, no, I'm so happy you like it. Well, basically, it is kind of fun when you think about it. First of all, you have this, you know, beautiful oratory, the Brompton Oratory, famous Brompton Oratory that was founded by Blessed John Henry Newman in the tradition of St. Philip Neri. So already the backstory is just amazing. And the visuals are stunning. And then we started to kind of find out that not only did they have this boys choir school, Schola Cantorum, but they have two other choirs, too. They have a professional choir that sings on Sunday Mass, which is quite extraordinary, and then another choir, a junior choir. So, but of course, you know, we were attracted to begin with this story that had the boys choir with the school, and so we reached out to them over, you know, just kind of wanting to see what the deal was, because it's like I said, it's kind of fun to go into London and present this music at this most highest level with this repertoire that's very Catholic by a Catholic boys choir in London. I mean, you know, you see where I'm going with this.
Yeah, well, and also all of these composers, and I'll name them now, John Shepherd, Christopher Tai, Thomas Tallis, Robert Parsons, William Byrd, and Peter Phillips, they all have in common being part of the 16th century and the tumultuous struggle between Protestants and Catholics, both you know, at the royal court between the various kings and queens, beginning with Henry VIII, but also all through the country and all through the laity being pulled back and forth between the demands of the old Catholic Church and of the new Church of England. But all of these composers felt that tension, and luckily none of them got their heads cut off.
I don't mean to laugh, but they were. I mean, a lot of this was done, you know, below the radar, underground. As, you know, incredible as these masterpieces are, and sometimes writing SATB and trying to figure out how to do this, you know, in the situation that they were in. And, you know, look at this art. You know, how often do we kind of create things under struggle or duress, and then look at how it comes out? And so when these choirs today over there, being in their situation there at the oratory, are singing this music, I mean, can you imagine how it just sends chills up
my
spine thinking about it?
So much easier to pray. Now, we have chosen, or I have chosen, I should say, I'm using the divine we when I say that, Robert Parsons' Ave Maria, because it's one of my favorite choral pieces in all the repertoire of all choral music. And for several years as a young college professor, I sang in a Schola Cantorum in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And we got this, and I was given one of the really great high baritone parts. But in the middle of rehearsals, he took it away from me.
Wow.
He said my voice wasn't blending correctly. It hurt. I can still feel the hurt today.
Wow.
Because I was so into it. So, but let's listen to this great 16th century English composer born in 1535, Robert Parsons.
We'll feel as we
yes.
listen.
Let's listen to his Ave Maria. I don't think there's a better one. that there's a more beautiful setting of the Ave Maria, and particularly of the Amen. I don't know it.
Mm.
That was Robert Parsons, 16th century English composer. And the recording is from the newly released CD entitled Sacred Treasures of England. Sacred Treasures of England, sung by the London Oratorio Schola Cantorum Boys Choir, led by Charles Cohen. It's on Aim Higher Recordings, and we have the founder producer of Aim Higher Recordings, Monica Fitzgibbons, along with her husband Kevin. We have Monica on the phone. So Monica, don't you just love that you made that?
I mean, I didn't make it. We're just people who collect art and want to make sure that it's documented and placed into, you know, the public at this time in history. And I can't tell you how rewarding it is to play even a small part of it, because the comments that we get back.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you listen to that and be in a bad mood?
You can't. I counted them. I have 10 recordings of this, of that piece, because I love it so much. This is as good or better than any of them. What really stands out to me in this is the purity of the treble section.
Yeah.
And for listeners who don't know what trebles are, these are boy who are singing before their voices break. So they're sopranos, essentially. And it's a very delicate but very distinctive kind of sound, which has been part of singing Renaissance music ever since the music was written, and has continued to be a tradition, particularly in England, but through Europe and the United States. That treble section, when it comes in way up high, is so pure, so beautiful.
Mm, it's like a bell. It's just to have that in there and have them, their tone and their pitch is just so right on. I mean, you can tell that they're really quite accomplished, even at this young age.
Well, they don't, and that's just it. They don't sound like they're young. They don't sound like they're amateurs. They don't sound like they've been pulled together as a youth choir. I mean, they sound like a fully functioning professional choir is what they
yes.
sound like. And once again, this is the famous Brompton Oratory founded by, is he blessed, John Henry
yes.
Newman now? Blessed?
At this point, blessed. We're praying for saints.
Yeah, well, if he's responsible for this, he'll get it. And so let's listen to another. There are 14 what they call cuts on this album. The Parsons is one, but there are three by William Byrd, very well known. Two by Thomas Tallis, well known. Two by Peter Phillips, less well known. Mm-hmm. And one by Mr. John Shepherd. So what I've done is there are two settings of Hake D's, or the This Is the Day, and it's a standard part of the Catholic liturgy associated with Easter. It's usually sung on Easter Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday in place of the hymn at Vespers. This is the day which the Lord hath made. And I wanted to play each of them by contrast and see how they sound against each other. So the first is by John Shepherd, Hake Dies. just gorgeous. That was John Shepherd's setting of Haec Dies sung by the London Oratorio Schola Cantorum Boys Choir on the new CD recording of Sacred Treasures of England on the Aim Higher recording label. Let's go right in to the setting of the same text, This Is the Day, Easter morning, set by the well-known Renaissance English composer William Byrd, who started out as an Anglican composer and ended up as a Catholic one in the court, guess who, of Elizabeth I. William Byrd's setting of Haec Dies, This Is the Day, Easter morning. Monica Gibbons, wouldn't you agree that was a little more complex than the setting by John Shepherd?
Yes, and as you know by now, we chose that as the track that we did sort of our feature video in launching this recording. And
good choice.
You can see it on our aimhigherrecordings.com. It's right there. But we chose that one. I mean, Byrd, come on. And then, you know, it's just, as you said, it's very complex.
It's it's complex, but it's exuberant and joyful.
Exactly. It's very joyful. And they just knock it out of the ballpark with this rendition of it.
They do. Yeah, I didn't pause to see that because I was so busy studying all these composers and when they were born and when they died and if they got their heads cut off, and I didn't want to be surprised. But I want to remind our listeners that this new recording is available, and you can download it from iTunes or buy the CD from Barnes & Noble or Amazon, or you can go directly to the Aim Higher website, which is what, Monica?
aimhigherrecordings.com.
And you can buy it from there. Can you download it off your website?
We don't do download direct. We just give you a very easy link from wherever you are in the world. When you click on the links on our website, you can get right to your storefront, which will have the recording.
And I must say that even though I somewhat regret certain companies having monopolies on books and music, I sure am glad they're there when I want them. So including being able to get to your newest recordings as well as the old ones. We're going to be back with Monica Fitzgibbons and hear more music from this latest release, Sacred Treasures of England, right after this moment.
Light of the East, weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I'm Father Thomas Loya. This week on Ave Maria, the season of the great fast is upon us. It is the flowering of repentance. Prayer, fasting, and charity will be our guides as we journey from exile back to our Father's house.
Saturday evenings at 8:30 and Sunday mornings at 9 on 990 WDEO Ave Maria Radio.
Tributes are pouring forth in memory of great American Catholic thinker Michael Novak. Hi, I'm Peggy Stanton. Almost a year to the day he died, Michael Novak was a guest on Power from the Pews, reflecting on some of the greatest issues of our time. We replay that interview this weekend, Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio and AveMariaRadio.net.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchak.
People like to bash the faithful with statistics. For instance, you've probably heard that studies show that Christians divorce at the same rate as others. Or how about the report that claims that Christians are bad tippers? Well, according to the University of Connecticut sociologist Bradley Wright, statements like these simply don't apply to people who actually practice their faith. For instance, only 25% of weekly church-going Catholics are divorced, compared to 50% of the general population. As for tipping, a Cornell University study found that church-going Christians tip an average of 17%. Obviously, Christians aren't perfect, but practicing our faith really does give us the grace we need to stand up against the pressures the world can apply. So the next time someone tries to bash your faith with research, take it with a grain of salt. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
I'm back with Monica Fitzgibbons, who is the co-founder, co-producer of AIM Higher Recordings with her husband, Kevin. We're talking about their newest recording, which is amazing, and I strongly recommend that everyone listening give it a try. Sacred Treasures of England with the London Oratory School of Cantorum Boys Choir. We're going to now play two tracks of a mass by Christopher Tye, which takes up a good portion of the CD. Now, Monica, why did you decide to give so much room to Mr. Tye, T-Y-E?
It was up to the choral director, a wonderful choral director named Charles Cole. We inherited this album because, again, as you mentioned, we just started our our distribution deal with Sony starting January 1st. So that tells you how quickly this recording, you know, they'd already been working on it. And the first time we heard it was the first week in January, and we were blown away by it. So we had to release it.
So Mr. Cole, the choir master, chose all the selections?
Yes, he did. And the thing is that we, you know, right when we, you know, started talking about it, we decided that, because we loved his boys choir.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to do a series with him. And so he had...
This is the first of a series?
Yeah, so he had
that's
the
great.
Idea...
Great.
And of course, we're going to start it in England.
Wonderful.
And so you have a whole bunch of other, you know, regional repertoire coming your way.
Yeah.
And this is the first one. And so
wonderful.
I think the reason why to answer your question, it's so heavily on the tie is because of the Missa.
Well, it's one of the great Renaissance polyphonic masses. Christopher Tye is not as well known as Thomas Tallis or William Byrd or, for that sake, Palestrina down in Italy. But he was one of the major composers of that age, of the 16th century. And this particular mass is considered if not his best, at least one of the best of his compositions. This is a Mass based upon Luke 19:17, and he said unto him, "Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, thou shalt have authority over 10 cities." And the Latin represents good servant, uge bone. Let's listen to the Gloria section, a very distinctive setting of the Gloria by Christopher Tye. Our listeners enjoyed listening to the great Thomas Tallis, his setting of the Salvator Mundi, Savior of the World. Sorry that I miscued you. I did say that we were about to hear the great Gloria from the Uge Bone Mass of Christopher Tye. Now, given my mistake, I'm not going to deprive you of the enjoyment of the Gloria, and just to say that that Tallis you just heard is just is stunning. It's one of the great pieces of sacred choral music in the Renaissance, and I hope you enjoyed it in spite of wondering, well, that sounds like Thomas Tallis. Well, now let's listen to the unique style of Christopher Tye, his Gloria from the Missa Uge Bone.
Thank you.
We've been listening to the Gloria section of the Missa Ubi Bene by Renaissance composer Christopher Tai, who, like the other composers in this new recording, Sacred Treasures of England, was a 16th century composer, composed in the royal court, as did William Byrd, Thomas Tallis, and lived through the very turbulent struggles between the new Church of England and the old Catholic Church. I was the only one I was surprised by that was on your list of recordings, Monica, were the two by Peter Phillips. I said Ty wasn't well known. Now, Peter Phillips is really not well known. Now, I think the pieces that are here are gorgeous, and I think they deserve to be here. But were you surprised that the chorus master, Christopher Cole, included this in the recording?
I wasn't surprised. He is really taking the best of what this choir at this time, because as you know, I mean, because of your background, deal, you're going to know that any choir director has to work with what are their strengths at that time, and especially when you're dealing with these boys' voices who, for a time, are, this is a glimpse, you know? And so these were the songs, this was the repertoire that they were singing the best at, but also they're constantly doing all kinds of repertoire, right, concerts and this and that. I know that you, like me, are so happy that that he put these two, especially
the Ave. It's not the same old, same old. I mean, I have perhaps hundreds of recordings of this repertoire, and I'm just glad to be introduced to a composer like Peter Phillips, especially a piece with the quality of Ave Verum Corpus that we're going to hear now. And I'll tell you, it was one of my two or three favorite cuts in the album by Peter Phillips.
Yeah.
Let's listen to the Hail, True Body, Born of Virgin Mary. The text is attributed to Pope Innocent VI.
Thank you.
this setting, Ave Verum Corpus by English composer 16th century Peter Phillips, is apt to be one of the best things on the CD, new CD from AIM Higher Recordings. Don't you agree, Monica?
I do. It's my favorite track. I was so happy when I saw that you selected it. And especially when you look at the words, I mean, I just don't hope you don't mind if I just
please
say
do
them, because it's, you know, it's Corpus Christi, you're receiving our Lord, and it's Hail, true body, born of the Virgin Mary, truly you suffer, offered in sacrifice on the cross for man. And it goes on from there, but, I mean, it's just, it's so beautiful.
Now, Mr. Phillips, however, did have a brush with the religious wars of the time. Later in his life, after he had lived in exile for many, many years in Italy and in Brussels and other places, he was accused of being involved in a plot to kill Queen Elizabeth and was in prison for a while at The Hague. And it said that while he was there, he composed a pavane entitled Doloroso, meaning suffering. But he got himself acquitted and went on to die of natural causes. But this is somebody I hope will be on future albums in the sequence here that you've started with this particular recording. Do you have any idea of what's coming down the line?
Well, we have to, you know, we have this year to do this, and they've just, this choir has just finished a beautiful tour in Spain, and they're coming to the United States.
Oh, when?
In October, they'll be here. I'll have to let you know, because I know they are coming to D.C. They'll be.
Oh, definitely, I'll be there. And we can, you know, perhaps we can do something then on the radio as well.
Yeah, that'd be great. You know, they made me laugh that I said, oh, you know, there's just nothing better. If you, again, back to that video I told you about, we have one of the boys, one of the lead trebles in the choir, kind of does a little, tiny little narration of this feature video that we did to launch this album. And he's just got, you know, such a wonderful and beautiful voice, speaking voice. And I, of course, said to them, everything sounds better in a British accent. And they said, we don't have an accent. They were ready for me.
They're completely charming. And they're all trained in that Oxford-Cambridge debate style. So you can't get by them. You can't get around them at all, even at that young age.
I mean, they're just perfectionists already. Yeah. I love it.
Yes, and well, we'll have to let our listeners know about not only future recordings with this Schola Cantorum, but also their future tour in the United States. Now, Monica, are you going to forgive me for playing the Parsons Ave Maria twice?
Of course.
I mean, I'm telling you, this is one of my favorite pieces of music, both as a piece of music and as a piece of sacred art. I think it's stunning. And if you look through recordings, there are a lot of recordings of it, and that's why. So we will play as much of it as we can, and we'll bring it down, and I'll say thanks to you and goodbye to our listeners. But let's get started. Robert Parsons, Ave Maria.
Thank you.
not going to get to the end, so you're going to have to buy the recording to hear the end. That's the great Ave Maria by Renaissance composer Robert Parsons. One of the selections from recent recording from Aimhier, Sacred Treasures of England, with the London Oratory Schola Cantorum Boys Choir, led by Charles Coe, the first, thankfully, in a series. Monica Fitzgibbons, thank you for giving us this.
No, thank you for having us on and for all that you've done to really dig into it. It's just a motley hearing your insights.
It is my pleasure, believe me. And to all of you who are listening, we'll have Monica back sometime soon. And thank you again, Monica. We'll be back after this short message.
Here's a Family Minute with child psychologist Dr. Ray Guarendi from Ave Maria Radio.
Is sending a child to her room a bad thing to do? If you listen to some experts, it is. I've read a lot of articles, heard a lot of talk shows where experts say, don't send them to their room. That's a private place. It's a place associated with good feelings. It's a place where a child can retreat from the world. And if you pair the room with punishment, child's going to grow up with bad feelings towards herself, towards her bed, towards sleep, towards her room, towards you. In my opinion, that's a classic example of how we overreact so often to the most benign things of parenthood. Sending a child to her room is getting her out of your face. It's giving her time to cool off. It is putting distance between your mouth and her mouth, and your ears and her ears. Sending a child to her room is among the most benign forms of discipline, in my opinion. I got sent to my room a couple thousand times a year when I was a kid. Whatever bad feelings I developed towards my bed and my bedroom, I overcame as I realized there's plenty of positive things I can do, like read and sleep, and if you're married otherwise, in a bedroom. All discipline can be attacked by somebody somewhere as somehow being inappropriate. Be careful. Nowadays, we're taking the most benign things of parenthood and somehow making them malignant? That's a strong word. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi.
This is Lavinia Spirito for Catholic Way Bible Study. In Luke 5, Jesus invites Peter, weary from a night of fruitless fishing, back out onto the Sea of Galilee to cast his nets one more time and trust Jesus for the results. To cast into the deep is to let go of our own opinions, desires, and the way things or people should be. To cast into the deep, even where we have already fished with no results, is to let go of independence, autonomy, and self-determination. The sooner we realize that our Beloved is holding us in His hands, the sooner we can get about the business of doing our Father's will. The sooner we will become disciples. Proverbs sums up this great secret lesson learned by the saints. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him and He will make your path straight. Let go and trust the Lord to direct your activities and your life. He knows what He's doing.
Catholic Way Bible Study. Peace, power, purpose. Find out more at cwbs.org.
On the next Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
Addressing that question, who am I to judge? Dr. Ted Shree joins us on a Monday along with Steve Ray from Egypt and our Bible verse with Gail Buckley.
Catholic Connection, weekday mornings at 8 a.m. on 990 WDEO.
Ever since he was a little boy, homeschool graduate Scott McIntyre has dreamed of touching people's hearts with his music. How did Scott turn that dream into a reality, despite being blind from birth? Find out on this week's Homeschool Heartbeat.
My guest today is Scott McIntyre. He's a homeschool graduate and a professional musician who has been blind since birth. Scott, welcome to our program.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, Scott, let's start at the beginning. Why did your parents decide to homeschool you?
It came time to put me in school, and the school system said, you know, we should really hold Scott back a year because he's blind, and my parents had never done this before, so they went along with it and thought, okay. But in the meantime, they started teaching me a little bit here and there at home, and it actually worked out.